Good morning, everybody. I'm so happy that you're here today. I've got a few things I want to run by you as we get started before the sermon this morning. In the first place, I'm just so thankful. And just it comes to the forefront of my mind as Andrew leads us in singing how blessed we are. We now have four men in our congregation that do such a phenomenal job leading us in worship in a rotation. And it's such a blessing to have those different men that lead us in different ways and bless us all in such a wonderful worship time together. And I just want to say a special thank you to Andrew today for leading us. He's put in a lot of work over the last 2 years to prepare himself to be able to lead us the way that he does. And I just want to acknowledge that time that you've put in, and thank you so much from all of us to what you've done, Andrew, and thank you for leading us today. I also want to mention to you, we did start some new Bible classes this morning. We have a new lineup of Wednesday night classes on Wednesday evening we want to invite you to be a part of. I was looking around this morning and I saw a lot of new faces in our Bible classes, and you've started a new good habit of being there, and I hope that you benefited greatly. I know you did in the Bible class this morning. I encourage you to stick with it and be a part of those classes each Sunday. Tonight we've got a very special event taking place downstairs at 6 o'clock. We're going to be having a time of worship together led by the youth of our congregation and those that went on the mission trip to the City of Children. And they're going to be giving us a report about that good work down there that they are involved in each summer. And so I know that you'll want to come and be a part of that. And as combined with that particular event, we're going to also be having a thank you to our summer intern, Jenna, and kind of a farewell for her, and we're going to be having a time of fellowship to follow. And so if you want to be a part of that, we encourage you to please be a part of that. And we need some help with, if you can bring some tortilla chips, some drinks and desserts to be a part of that fellowship at the end tonight, we would certainly appreciate that. I'm challenged all of you to think about the idea of forming a discipleship group in last week's sermon, and I'm pleased to let you know that not only do we have four discipleship groups that are now going on, and also I've learned about one or two more that have been going on too. I had somebody come up to me this morning and say, I started my discipleship group this week, and so they've got six people getting together, and that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. If you need some more information about how to start a discipleship group, please, by all means, be coming to me, and I can provide you with resources and tools to get you started. If you don't know what I'm talking about, come talk to me about it, and I'd like to inform you more, or get on our website and listen to last week's sermon, and you'll learn all about that. Today, we continue our sign up for small groups, and if you're not a part of a small group, I want to encourage you to sign up to be a part. There are some spots available in the open sign up in the foyer. You'll want to be sure and check that out as you leave today. Our small groups are always open. You can attend any small group you want to at any time. And so we want you to know that. The purpose of the sign-up is to make sure we have enough viable groups that are beginning. And so we have 17 groups that are going to be viable groups. And so we encourage you to get plugged in and involved. Our first small group meeting will be next Sunday. And so we want to make sure that you're aware of that. There'll be more information that'll be upcoming this week regarding those small group meetings. I think many of us in this audience are fearful about what the future holds for America. We look around us today, and what do we see? We see terrorist attacks both at home and abroad. Almost, it seems, weekly we hear of some type of attack. As we look at the political realm, and as we're in a presidential election year, I think most all of us would agree, no matter what side of the fence we're on, that we have questionable political leadership in our country. We see the moral decay that is taking place all around us. We see people rejecting God in our pluralistic society. You watch the news and you see racial division that seems to be heightened in the last few years. And the economy is very unstable. So we look in almost every area in the culture around us today, and it just feels like sometimes, particularly if you watch much cable news, it feels like that life is crumbling down around us in every direction. Now, for some of us in this audience, it is particularly disturbing because we remember days that we would consider to be better days of our past. And with some nostalgia and with some longing, we kind of wish for those good old days. Sometimes we compare what we see around us today with what we used to know in days gone by, and we feel like sometimes we're strangers in our own homeland, foreigners in our own country. Some of us will look around with sadness at our current state of affairs in our nation and say, you know, I don't even recognize this place anymore. I want you to know this morning that if you feel this way, if we feel this way, we're not the first to experience those feelings. We're not the first to feel the culture shock of a rapidly changing world all around us. Today I want to introduce you to the world of a prophet that you may not know that much about from the Old Testament by the name of Zephaniah. If you want to follow along, I'm going to give you a little bit of time, because it may take you a little while to find that small little Old Testament book in the Minor Prophets. We don't go very much and turn and read from the book of Zephaniah, and I think that's a great mistake, because he's got a message that is so relevant for you and me today in the place where we find ourselves. Here's a little bit of the backstory. After 600 years, about 600 years rather, before Jesus came to the world, God's people were feeling much like we feel right now in America. God's people now were relegated to a small little nation called Judah. To the north, the nation of Israel had been carried away into Assyrian captivity almost 100 years prior to this time. And now only this little nation of Judah is left. For them, foreign policy is uncertain. The world power of Assyria to the east is now on the verge of collapse. Morality in the little nation of Judah is in rapid decline. The previous two kings were incredibly wicked. Under King Manasseh, Judah had reached a low point of moral and spiritual decay. Manasseh had introduced idolatry and pagan altar worship throughout the kingdom. He had introduced witchcraft and even, believe it or not, child sacrifice in the name of religion. You can read all about that in 2 Kings chapter 21. Now, Manasseh's successor, Amon, was just as wicked as he was, and as a result, he was assassinated by his own people. And now, at the time of the writing of this book, Zephaniah, Judah is ruled by the son of Amon, who was made king at age 8. His name was Josiah. You want to talk about uncertain political leadership. Can you imagine being ruled by a king, a boy king of 8 years old? Things in Judah had really changed since King David had reigned in Jerusalem. You know, people would look back on those good old days, back when King David ruled and everything seemed to be going well in the nation of God's people. The country now was in steep decline, morally, politically, economically, and spiritually. Everywhere you look, Judah was faltering. And most people in the country of Judah were embracing the wickedness all around them. Sound familiar? Now, to his credit, the child king Josiah makes a tremendous effort at spiritual reform in Judah. He renovates the temple, he tears down the false idols erected by his forefathers, and he restores worship to Yahweh, the true God of heaven and earth, along with the Passover feast. You see, there are a few people still left in Judah that are loyal to God and love God from a pure heart. But I think most of them knew in their heart of hearts that it was too little too late, these reforms by the child king Josiah, because they knew that God's wrath was coming, that God would punish the wickedness that had taken place among his people and also the enemies of Judah too. And so at this time, God sends a prophet by the name of Zephaniah with a clear call, a message of repentance. It's time to repent. It's time to turn back to God. God is bringing judgment upon his enemies and upon Judah too, upon all these immoral people. Zephaniah repeatedly declares throughout his book, "The day of the Lord is coming." So in the days of such uncertainty, how should faithful people respond? Well, God gives a message to the prophet Zephaniah, an inspiring one, that the faithful people of God should not be overcome by fear and should not be overwhelmed with days of uncertainty, but should look to what is certain. That even in days like these, we need to realize that there is a spiritual reality around us that is sure. Even in the midst of days of trouble, we are called to worship God. We are called to give thanks for the anticipation of our salvation that is also equally certain and coming. Listen to the words, one verse, from the end of the prophet Zephaniah, Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. For the purposes of today's sermon, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. "For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs." Now, I want you to listen to what God says through his prophet. Because the message he has for Judah then is a message that you and I so desperately need to hear today too. And the first point he makes is that you need to know God is living among you. God has always desired to live among us. God has always desired to live among his people. Go all the way back to the Edenic paradise at the beginning with Adam and Eve walking with God in the cool of the day. You look through the storyline of the Bible and all the way from the Garden of Eden to God traveling with his people in the wilderness by pillar of cloud and fire, to God descending in his Shekinah glory on the mercy seat in the tabernacle, to God coming down in the Holy of Holies in Solomon's temple, to God himself visiting his people in flesh and bone with the coming of the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, to God sending his own Holy Spirit to live and dwell among his believers today in the church. God has always wanted to be among our midst. And we must not lose sight of that truth. We are the body of Christ, and the Spirit of God lives within his body. We are God's temple, and the Spirit dwells in this temple. His Holy Spirit has been given to dwell in our bodies as baptized believers. God is not far away. Don't think in days like this that God has turned a blind eye and that he has closed his ears against the cries of his people. God knows the plight of his faithful. He sees our struggle. He feels our uncertainty. And we must not lose heart. Because the Lord our God is in our midst. Amen? That's what Zephaniah tells us. Don't lose sight of that. But then notice, secondly, not only is he in our midst, he is not inactive or disengaged at what he sees going on around us. He is, listen to Zephaniah, a mighty warrior for those that he delights in. You need to know this morning that you are the apple of God's eye. You are precious to him. He sees you as his own beautiful bride. He delights in you. And his desire has always been and will always be to protect you and to provide for you. You see, the world around us is more than we can see. There is more happening around you than you know. Sometimes it feels like evil is winning. Sometimes it feels like Satan has the upper hand. But our God is the commander of angel armies. He commands all the hosts of heaven, and you better believe that angels are among us. They are ministering to the elect. Even now, right now, He is at work. He is a mighty warrior for His people. Even when it seems like we're behind and we're overcome, our God is a mighty warrior for us so that we can be more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And because He loves us, you can say, and we can say with certainty, I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all of creation is able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord for us. He is a mighty warrior for those in whom He delights. And so calm your fears is what God says through Zephaniah. The reality of God's love should quiet our troubled hearts. Fear is from Satan. Those who believe and walk by faith are not fearful, even in uncertain days. Why? Because we trust in the mighty warrior who is able to save. Yes? But then here, well, it really gets good. Notice what the Lord does. Not only is He in our midst, He's the mighty one who will save those in whom He delights. Not only will He calm our fears, but the last part of the verse, verse 17, says that He will sing over us with loud singing. So even when days are uncertain, God's people don't need to fear and huddle in a corner or go hide in a cave. God's people, even in days of uncertainty, you know what we need to be doing? We need to be having a festival of celebration. Think about it now. It's always been the case. Even when the death angel himself visited the streets of the land of Egypt, and the cries of the death of the firstborn were heard in those streets, even in days of fear and uncertainty, God didn't tell His people, go hide in your room, but instead He said, go in your house and have a party. Kill a lamb and start a festival known as Passover. And celebrate that God is, yes, in our midst. And yes, He brings judgment upon our enemies. But God is in our midst, and He is singing and celebrating in this festival with us, passing over us, because He is here. And He is delivering us from our enemies. Why should we celebrate in dark days? Because our victory is certain. And even now, God is rejoicing over us with joyful songs. We don't just sing to God, Zephaniah says, when we come to worship. No, God too joins in the chorus. And God Himself sings a solo. God sings a song of rejoicing over His people. Why? Because His people, if we are ruled by faith, are faithful even in difficulty. And God celebrates that faithfulness by singing over His people. Can you imagine what it would be like to hear God singing? One writer puts it this way. When I think of the voice of God singing, I hear the booming of Niagara Falls mingled with the trickle of a mossy mountain stream. I hear the blast of Mount St. Helens mingled with a kitten's purr. I hear the power of an East Coast hurricane and the coupled together with the barely audible puff of a midnight snow in the woods. And I hear the unimaginable roar of God's song, the sound so loud like a nuclear explosion on the surface of the sun. But in the midst of that, I hear the unimaginable, tender, warm, crackling sound of living room logs on a cozy winter's night. Imagine the song of God over you. Do you remember when you were a little child? And in the middle of the night, when all was dark and all the lights were out, and all of a sudden a storm arises outside and there's lightning and thunder and wind, and all things are uncertain and you're fearful and scared and you cry out. And in the middle of the night, your parent, perhaps your father, maybe your mother, comes into your room and begins to sing a song over you to calm and quiet your fears. This is what our God does for us in days of uncertainty. Will you listen to His song as He sings over His children? God created music. Where do you think it came from? We didn't make it up. God created music. The most beautiful composition of music that humanity can create. Think about a piece of music that you've heard, whether a piece of worship singing, or whether it be a beautiful symphony orchestra playing, or a song that you've heard that moved you to tears at some point in your life. Imagine a song that has warmed your soul, that has pierced your heart, that has brought a tear to your eye. I want to tell you the most beautiful song that humanity could ever compose. If all of the human race could come together and all of the most talented musicians create the most soul-stirring song humanity has ever heard, it would be like nails on a chalkboard to the sound of a song coming from the lips of the Creator Himself. And He reserves that song for you. If you are His child, He sings a song of joy over you. And so I want to say to you this morning what Zephaniah says. In Zephaniah chapter 3, in verse number 15, "Because the King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst, you shall never again fear evil." God is saying through His prophet, if you are walking in faith and you believe that the King is on His throne, why are you fearing? God sings His song over you, and you should so feel that and know that truth that you should never fear again. We must not be ruled by fear. We must walk by faith. We must live in confidence. We must live in the joyful celebration of God's victory chant. We are living in the days of the King, friend. Fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. Chapter 3 and verse 16. These are not the days to cast our hands down or to cast our hands up, as if all things are hopeless. These are not the days of weak hands. These are the days of strong hands, because the song of the Creator has been sung. It is time for you and me to join in that song of celebration. It is time to seek refuge in the name of the Lord. Verse number 12. They will seek refuge in the name of the Lord. Today, let me ask you, as you look at the world around us, do you feel like that you're in the midst of a raging storm? If you're out in the storm and you're consumed by the media of what you hear all around you, and you've not sought refuge in the Lord, you have a reason to fear, my friend, because you're out in the storm. So go on fearing. But God wants something better for you. God wants you to come into the safety of His refuge. He wants to cast out all fear from your heart and sing His song over you to speak peace over the troubled waters of your spirit. So I say to you this morning, if you're not in Jesus, flee to the Lord and know peace even in the storm. And maybe you need to flee to Him today. He invites you to come. Flee for refuge in the name of the Lord. Maybe today you need to be baptized in the name of the Lord and come and flee to Him. Or maybe you need to confess to yourself and maybe to others, you know what? I've been looking at the world around me and I've been living in fear and I'm sick of it. I'm ready to step out in faith and I'm ready to have confidence and listen to the song of the Creator over me. Listen to His song of confidence and celebration. Listen to His song of victory. I'm ready to step out and to live the joyful life of victory that I know is certain in the God of all creation, who is a mighty warrior who can save, because He is right here in our midst. Can we help you in any way to come to know Him better? We'd love to have a study with you. Maybe you're ready to join Christ in repentance and baptism. Maybe you need prayers from our shepherds in the library or down front. If we can help you, come to the mighty warrior, the only one who can save and who can calm your fears even in the midst of the storm, as we all sing together. Let's stand.